I'd like to do that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every single Thursday, and we talk to you about business, your business, your company's business, whether you're an entrepreneur or you are an aspiring entrepreneur, you are a great employee in a great corporation. We talk to you about finance, about health, leadership, managing money. And tonight, as always, we are going to have a guest. We've spoken to you about sales, and now we're going to speak to you about sales from a very different and very unique aspect. And before we introduce our guest, you know I never fly this journey solo. I have to introduce my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're here.
So hello, everybody. Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design. And we're so happy to be back here again on another Thursday night. And tonight we have a special guest. And before I announce our special guest, I'm going to say please tune in March 31st. We will start the fundraiser for my nomination as Woman of the Year for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And I'm super excited because pledges are starting to roll in and we haven't even started. So we'll send out the links along with our email for our guests and our podcast. So welcome to The Creative Entrepreneur. And tonight's guest is Eddie Edelman, a.k.a. Eddie Pods. Eddie, please announce yourself and tell them your business, what you do, and how you do it.
Hello, everybody. My name is Eddie Pods. Pods is the greatest idea in the moving and storage business. I am coming to you live from East Northport, New York. I cover the regional territory of Long Island, all of New York, Connecticut, and half of New Jersey. You have a moving and storage need. I have answers to all of your questions.
So tell us a little bit. Actually, I have a funny story that I heard about Eddie. So Eddie doesn't even know this yet. But Eddie, I heard that you actually have your daughter selling pods by word of mouth as well. So
that is correct.
That's called a family business.
That is a great story. My daughter was at her best friend's house, and they were in the kitchen, and the neighbor came over to talk to the mom and started talking about moving, and they were selling the house, and she said, oh, I think I might get a pods container. And my daughter's antennas went up, and she said, oh, my daddy works for pods. She said, really? Yeah. And she had a card in her pocketbook, like all good daughters do. And she gave her my number. And she called me the next day, and we chatted for a while. And the funny part of the story is that it was a very helpful situation during a difficult time, a divorce. And I told her that when she was loading her container, I'd pop by and give her some advice on loading the container. And she did. And she texted me, hey, Eddie, me and my boyfriend are loading the container if you want to stop by. And I stopped by and give him some pointers, and next thing you know, we start talking business, and we start talking about referrals, and we start talking about networking, and I invite her to come to one of my networking groups for a meeting, and she joins. Just the way things happen, you know, a lead from my daughter to me, to just giving some sound advice, the next thing you know, she's part of this networking group of 200 people, and she's loving it. So you must be talking about
content. That's awesome. Yes, I am.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell me her because that story, it's such a great story because my kids have been part of my networking and my pod's life. They've come to trade shows with me as little kids, setting up the booth, handing out my business card, knowing that when you're a brand, you know, you have to represent yourself a certain way. And, you know, they all had to be at least 10 years old before they were allowed to come to a trade show in this school. That was the rule. And I've hosted trade shows, so they were part of that as well. And, you know, keeping the family part of the business is cool, but teaching them about business and not being afraid to talk to strangers, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but when you're in business, you have to talk to strangers. And not being shy really helps you when you're trying to meet new clients or new referrals.
Right.
How old is your daughter, by the way?
this daughter is 17, the other one is 15, and the other one is 12.
Okay. Well, the one who actually sold your, who got you some new business, how old is she?
17. She's been to the most trade shows. She's been around the longest in helping.
Okay. Very interesting.
So when you're,
she's a professional already.
Yeah, they have some experience in real life. You know, there's a project I do every year for Times Square Association. And they would load these containers in the middle of New York City, dodging traffic, tractor trailers. And one year I came up with the idea. I said, hey, why not load the containers at my warehouse on Long Island? Let your tractor trailer come there and load everything nice and easily. And they were like, well, we need some workers. I'm like, no problem. So the first 2 years, my son's football team got hired to come offload two tractor trailers into 10 pods containers.
Wow.
Then my daughter's soccer, my older daughter's soccer team, and then the cousins 1 year, and then the younger daughter's soccer team. So for 7 years, you know, we've had different groups of Edelmans in their sports or school or cousins, you know, learning the meaning of work hard, get paid, and have some fun while you're doing it.
Very interesting. So, I mean, you've definitely managed to let people know what you do, how you do it, in a message that's super clear. You know, even people who don't know what PODS is, when you speak about it, people know. So, did you have training? Did this just come to you? Is it practice? How did you learn how to, I guess, sell your business and yourself?
Well, when I took the job about 10 years ago, my first 6 months in it was kind of difficult. I wasn't putting myself out there. I wasn't being very successful. And I remember going to my boss and, like, apologizing for my numbers. And I said, I'm going to come up with a different game plan in the next year. And that game plan was going to be networking. I was going to join a couple of chamber of commerce. I was going to join some organizations. I was going to learn how to network. I was going to learn how to network and get a name for myself, for the company. And I had done this in a previous business where I was Eddie Pretzels. And I know you're like, whoa, Eddie Pods, Eddie Pretzels. But when you take on the moniker, when you take on a brand name and you live it and you breathe it and you start feeling that that's who you are and that's who you want everyone to think you are, it just becomes natural. It's not forced. It's not an act. It's not a stick. You know, people really, sometimes they think my last name really is Pods because I don't give my last name very often. Eddie Pods, that's who I am. And I tell people when I'm still cold calling them, just put Eddie Pods in your phone number. And they giggle. They think it's funny. And I'm like, yeah, it's funny, but it's memorable. And in this business or any business that you're selling, you need to be memorable. Because if you're not memorable, they could just pick up the phone and dial 1-800-PODS or go to the website, and you never would get credit for a sale. So to get credit for a sale, you need to be memorable. So aside from always having a PODS shirt on and always looking sharp in my PODS gear, I used to do a lot of trade shows. I would probably host or be part of 6 to 7 trade shows a year. And I spent more time before and after the events, mingling with the other vendors, getting to know them, having fun with them, buying them a cocktail, having lunch with them, to further the brand. So it's like you're reaching out to the people that are coming to the show, but you're also reaching out to the vendors. And the one thing I keep finding with PODS is everyone at some point needs me. At some point you're going to move, you're going to renovate, or you're going to know someone who moves or someone who renovates at some point. And if you remember Eddie Pods, you know you got a guy that's going to help you.
And how did you come up with the name Eddie Pods? Because it is memorable.
You know, I was in Florida. That's where our corporate offices are. Everybody was swagging like they were, you know, the cat meow. Everybody thought they were badasses, and we were pretty young in the commercial division. We were only 3 years old at the time, and everybody was trying to create their own little cachet amongst the people of our office in Florida. And I remember one of the big bosses turned around and said, "You, what's your name?" I just stood up in front of the group. And I'm Eddie Potts. Who are you? And it just broke the room up. Like, everybody, like, this is the CEO of the company. And I didn't really know that at the time. You know, it was an informal cocktail hour. And it just stuck from that moment. I'm like, look at that reaction I just got. And that's from the CEO of my company. I'm like, I'm sticking with this. And it's funny because I still go back to Florida. I still go back there a few times a year, and we still have parties. And there will be people who I don't know that will come into the room and say, "You're Eddie Potts?" I'm like, "Oh, you've heard of me." He goes, "I see all your sales. I know how much money you bring to the company." Yeah, I know who Eddie Potts is. I find it flattering. I really do.
That's awesome. So you're a legend.
Well,
not just Eddie Potts. Eddie Potts is a legend.
After 10 years and over $30 million in revenue, that's pretty hip. Not too many
that
people,
is.
And there's only one other person, only one other person in my company that can say they've sold over $30 million worth of pods containers. That's pretty, to me, it's impressive.
It's very impressive.
Definitely impressive.
Anyone would be honored to have you on their sales team.
Oh, please talk to my bosses.
Yes,
sometimes they make me feel like a junior executive, and it makes me crazy, but that's okay.
So you've been doing this for how long?
Coming up on 10 years.
That's pretty awesome. And you're not, I mean, you sound like you love it.
I've ingratiated myself in so many cool things with pods. When the Super Bowl was here in New York, I donated some containers and got very involved in a couple of charities. If anyone's familiar with New York City, the New York City Wine and Food Festival, pods is part of it every year. There are a lot of cool events that I've been able to be part of, the New York City Marathon, the Central Park Boathouse. I mean, the list of fun stuff that I've done and the cool people that I know, probably the biggest and best of them is still Times Square, New Year's Eve. Times Square, New Year's Eve, every year. And even this year, even with the no crowd, we still had 6 containers there. But the crux of me, and you talk about having some real feel of what you're doing. The people at Times Square love Eddie Potts, and they've told me flat out, if you weren't with the company, we wouldn't be dealing with you. You just make it that right for us. And my company wanted to create a commercial, and they wanted to do a live shoot during New Year's Eve. And I went to my people at Times Square Associates, and I said, "Hey, can you give me some credentials? Can you give me a window that my people can just go do a little bit of a photo op during New Year's Eve?" And they looked at me, and they started smiling. I'm like, "I know." And I knew what they were going to say. They're like, "Do you know how much this costs? Do you know how much people pay for this?" And I'm like, "I do." And they're like, "For you, we're giving you an hour. We'll give your crew an hour. We'll give them a spot in the middle of Times Square. They can do all the footage they want." It was the highlight of one of our meetings that we had when they put this video together. It's a 5-minute commercial, and it was the coolest damn commercial for our company that we've ever done.
Wow.
And the fact
That's
that I was
awesome.
Able to get it, I was able to get it, not just that it was free, that they wanted to do something for me. Because I'm the one always doing for them. I'm always making their stuff happen. I'm making their project go. I'm invested in it. I make sure it all rolls really well because I care. And that's the part of it. I care. My customers know I care. And they're willing to do anything if I need something in return. And that's business. That's good business. That's how you make friends for life.
Right. That's very true. So, you know, I'm thinking like, all right, pods at Times Square, New Year's Eve, like, what is, like, do you bring the pod there? Does it have a purpose? Is it you helping out? Like, how does that kind of play out?
So the purpose is, in the beginning, and it still is, so all the hats that the people are wearing in Times Square are of a sponsor. And the giant glasses that say 2020 or 2021, that's another sponsor. So the two tractor trailers fill 7 containers of all of those items. The other 10 items are filled with balloons. So we have 18 containers. We fill the merchandise up on Long Island. We bring all the containers in at 3 o'clock in the morning on usually the 15th or 16th of December. They sit on 43rd, 45th, and 47th Street, all 18 containers. And mind you, they pay me to do this. Can you imagine the advertising we get from those containers being on the street
that
during Christmas time in New York City?
No.
You know, it's huge. And they pay full boat. They don't ask for any discounts, nothing of the sort. And then on New Year's, usually the New Year's the 2nd, I'm sorry, New Year's the 2nd, January 2nd, we come back at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's the deal. That's the problem with the deal. We have to do this at 3 o'clock in the morning. We cannot do
right.
this during regular business hours. We can't do this during the day. The only time it can be done is 3 o'clock in the morning. So we have to round up
and
18 drivers. What was that?
And so why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's so funny because one year I did drive. I asked because I had a CDL license and they were short a driver. And the territory manager said, "We're screwed. We need another driver." And I'm like, "I got it." They're like, "Eddie Potts drives too." And I'm like, "Eddie Potts drives too." And I drove into the city and in the chain of 18 trucks humming along at 2:30 in the morning, crossing over the 59th Street Bridge. So when we went to do that video this past year, that was one of the things I pointed out to them that they needed to, you know, get some video of them coming over the bridge. The unloading of the container, you know, and it's pretty much an empty Times Square at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a fun project, and everyone gets up for it. You know, it's like everyone feels like they're part of something special when we do it.
Very cool. So, you know, they talk about salespeople and people who do great things in sales, except it sounds like you are, instead of you just doing sales, like you've become the sale, like you are it.
I am, because I want to make sure people know what they're getting. I talked myself out of a sale this week on purpose, absolutely on purpose. This couple is looking to put away some furniture on a move, and it was going to cost them $2,000 to move it to where they were going to go to. And their house wasn't being built for 6 months, and it was going to just be $2,000. And when the more me and the girl started talking, I said, "Let me ask you a question. How much is that furniture worth to you? Why don't you just take that $2,000 and go buy yourself some new furniture and throw that old stuff in the garbage?" And she just was like, "Why are you talking yourself out of a sale?" I said, "Because you'll remember that I talked you out of the sale because it was the right thing to do." And she just, like, I could see her smiling over the phone. You know, when you hear someone smiling, she'll remember me forever. And the next time someone says, "I'm moving, I need a pod, I need storage," that person's going to sell to me because she's going to remember how well I treated her. And that's how I feel about my clients. You treat them a certain way that you actually care about their business. You care about their move. You know, every new customer that comes on board, I put their name in my phone. So when the phone rings, when I get 100 calls a day, it's not just another number. Because when I see that number coming up, I jump on the computer and pull their account up. So that when I answer and I press hello, I already have their account up. I'm trying to impress them. "Hey, what do you want to do?" "Oh, you want to change your delivery date? No problem. I already got your account up." They're like, "I didn't give you my account number." "Yeah, that's all right. I already have it." Going the extra mile to make people feel special. It works for me. When people come to work at my house, whether it's the plumber or the furnace guy, you know, it's about service. Just got to give it. That's how it comes back to you.
So you're not, for sure, you're not a transactional salesman.
No, because I believe every sale will lead to another sale. I always believe that. Whether it's today, tomorrow, 6 months from now, or a year from now. You know, one of the funniest things happened a couple weeks ago. My boss kind of yelled at me. This guy calls me and says, "Eddie, you came up to a golf tournament 4 years ago. I found your card. It's stuck to another card in my wallet. Can you get me a container? It's not my territory anymore, but I felt obligated, you know? So I booked the order. And sure enough, I documented what happened. And sure enough, the next day, my boss called me and said, why are you servicing Boston? It's not your territory. And when I told him the story, he's like, you couldn't have even made that up. It was too real. You know, it was just too real. And I thought, what, the guy with memory 4 years later in his sticky old card in his wallet? That flattered me. I couldn't, oh, it's not my territory. I can't help you anymore. Yeah.
That's really good.
So that's really awesome. I hear a consistent theme from, you know, the salespeople, the prior salespeople who have been on the show as well. And it's going the extra mile and being honest. So, you know, like being an HVAC person and you come in and you're like, you don't need a new unit. You know, you just need your vent redone or, you know, different things like that. And telling people, like, listen, you know, I care, I value you as a person, and I'm not out to just sell you something. And it sounds like that's what you stand for.
It's what I represent, and I stand by. A lot of people, you know, when I put together deals, they'll say, I want that in writing. I want that in writing. I want that in writing. I'm like, okay, okay. I said, but I want to tell you, it's going to be in writing. It's going to be on your account. But as long as I'm working with this company, if I tell you something, I have the authority to make it happen. And if I tell you I'm going to do it, I will do it. Listen, not every job goes perfect. Sometimes mistakes happen. Sometimes the jobs go sideways. It's all in how you deal with the adversity when it does. Are you looking to blame someone? Are you taking ownership of the problem? And I'll revert back to Times Square Association. We were doing a summertime project, the largest yoga class in America, 10,000 people in Times Square. They had their mats delivered to Carlisle, New Jersey, and the containers were in the warehouse there, stacked up. And on the day of delivery, we had no forklift in the warehouse. It was broken. And they couldn't load the containers on the trucks. And I happened to be out of town at the time, but, you know, my guy called me and said, hey, I just got a phone call. And then, you know, they don't have an answer for me. What's going on? Yeah. I've been calling all day. Nobody's answering. I called the territory manager. I called this one. I called that one. I knew you were out of town. Nobody's answering. I'm like, oh. So I called the boss. I said, what's going on? He said, oh, you know, the forklift's down. I'm like, okay, so what are we doing about it? Well, we're waiting on a part. Okay. What are you doing in between? Are you getting a rental? What's your solution? We have a big event here. 10,000 people are expecting these mats. I said, come on, you know this account. What are we doing about it? Well, I got a lot of nothing. I got a lot of nothing from the management. I went back to the boys and I said, okay, I got bad news. We have no forklift. There's a good chance these containers are not going to be there on time, and you're screwed. So you can go to plan B, get a truck, get it to my warehouse, offload the stuff from my pods container into your truck, and do it that way. In the meantime, I'm going to try to get some rental forklift to see if we can move a couple of the containers and get a few of them out there. There were six of them. So we were able to get four. The other two we couldn't get. He was pissed. And, again, he was calling the manager. What about the other two? What about the other two? What about the other two? And he dodged him again. And I had to get back into the boss's face again. I'm like, would you just tell the guy the truth? He ain't getting him. Tell him the truth. What's the worst he's going to do? Never use this again? It could happen. Call Gary back up. I said, Gary, not going to happen. Do what you got to do, buddy. I apologize. Sorry it went sideways. I can fix the solution next time. We can't do this. So day of the event, 2 days later, forklift is finally fixed. My truck, I arranged for it to show up the morning of the event. Both of the trucks showed up. And I called Gary. I said, Gary, look out your window. You want them or not? You tell me. We'll drop them right in the street or we'll just move on. And I could hear him on the other side wanting to kill me, but at the same time, he wanted to hug me. He said, drop them. Well, 2 months later, my boss came to town. She wanted me to meet customers and clients. I said, we're going to visit this customer. She had no idea where we're going. And we went up into Gary's office. And he was like, why are you here? I'm here to apologize. He goes, you're here to apologize? How about the guy who avoided me for 4 days? How about him? Why isn't he here? That's my job. It's my job to be here, my job to apologize, and it's my job to show you how this never happens again. And he turned and he looked at my boss and said, if it wasn't for this guy right here, I would never use your company again. You guys didn't show a bit of class. You didn't do what you say you were going to do, and you dodged me for days. But this guy, he stood in front of the train and took the hit for all of you. You don't find a lot of guys in the field that do that. And I took that as a badge of honor, because that's how I feel about it. Don't be afraid of mistakes, because they happen. What's your solution? How can you make it better? Sometimes there is no solution. Sometimes you can't make it better. Sometimes you lose the customer. But it's how you go about it that determines if they ever, down the road, would ever use you or consider using you again based on how you helped or didn't help.
That is the truth, especially, you know, being in our industry, and especially during COVID, it's been, you know, challenging to get things delivered and make things happen and, you know, to have it come in right when we're dealing with furniture. But, you know, we do our best. We'll, you know, if it's a house full of furniture, we'll loan furniture. You know, if you need a dining set because you're having a big party and it's not in yet, you know, we try and do what we can for you. But it sounds like
you being the owner of your company, you have to stand in front of that bullet if it's wrong and do your
exactly.
best to make the most of it. And if you didn't, you wouldn't be in the business anymore.
That's correct. So as a business owner, take the bullets.
No, don't dodge them. And that's what he said, you know, I'll never see it. And Gary and I have grown closer because of that incident, because he didn't know I was coming. It wasn't some big showboat. Oh, hey, boss, look at this great customer. No, this customer was pissed.
Right.
This customer was absolutely, and I did it on purpose because I wanted my company to realize what I do for your client. You know, they're not my clients,
right.
They're the company's clients. But this is what I do for your clients, for our clients. And to always know that they're in good hands if I'm involved in the project.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so important.
It's what makes me get 10 to 15 referrals every single week. Every single week. There are people.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's really big. That's something that's, you would say that's a salesperson's dream to get 10 or 15 referrals. I mean, that's a lot of transactions. And somehow you figured out how to do that. And so I heard you say something that you get other people to sell for you. Even your daughter, your teenage daughter, is out selling for you. So I was saying for you, selling is not a transaction, and you were saying it's a relationship, and that's what I hear. So what do you – I mean, is what I just said sort of the secret sauce for you? Like, what is it you're doing? And perhaps you're laying out sort of the background. What are you doing that other salespeople are not doing such that you get 10 to 15 referrals a week? That's spectacular.
You know what? It's going to sound simple, and I know it's not, because as a salespeople, we love to talk. And I mean, I know that's why you have you on the show. But the second best thing I do besides talking is listening. So when someone calls and says, call you, I'm going to be doing a move, they're excited. They want to tell me all about it. And instead of saying a word, I take out my pad, I take out my pen, I let them talk because they have nothing left to say. Whether it's a story, questions, I let them go, and I'm taking notes on their project. And while they're talking, I'm on my computer running some quotes, getting some ideas on price. But I'm just listening to what they have to say. I've seen every move. I've seen every renovation. I've seen every project you can imagine. I've had projects as large as 75 containers. I have a client that has 250 containers. I have the advice. that will help your transition smooth. Just from my advice, I'll explain how to load your container. I'll explain the flexibility of coming, letting you load the container at your leisure. I could arrange for movers to come to your home. I could arrange for movers to come to your new place in North Carolina. I have access to whatever you need to make this transaction smooth, because moving or renovation is a difficult time in someone's life. It's stressful. It's nerve-wracking. And it's always nice that there's one vendor, because there's many vendors involved. But it's always nice when one vendor has their stuff together and is there for you whenever you need. And I'm going to refer back to this guy, Lonnie. Lonnie was an older gentleman, came as a referral, moving a big six-bedroom house out in Manorville, and he was moving to a house that wasn't even built yet in North Carolina. And this man was in his late 60s, and I don't really deal with residential, but this is a referral, somebody's dad. Well, if I told you for a seven-month period, I spoke to Lonnie every 3 or 4 days. Sometimes it was silly stuff. Sometimes it was money stuff. Sometimes it was going from a 3-container order to a 6-container order, which was huge. But I was there with him, knew his phone number because I had it programmed into my phone. And I kind of, you know, when we finally finished the job and we picked up the last container, I kind of missed hearing from Lonnie every couple of days. But that was a 7-month relationship. Who does that? You know, a moving company, you sell the deal, you're done, you move on, you're off to the next one. That's not how I do it. And like Lonnie said, anyone in my family ever moves, you're my guy. I know that. I will be his guy. For as long as he's around or he hears anyone say moving, storage, pod, I got Eddie Potts. He's your guy. Because it doesn't take a lot to be nice. It doesn't take a lot to remember what you said you were going to do for somebody. It doesn't take a lot. And if you got to work a few extra hours. What's that?
Go ahead.
Hours. No, if you got to work a few extra hours during the day because so many people are calling you, so you do it. It's okay. My reputation means the world to me. People having a good experience with pods means the world to me. You know, you were talking about that Sandra before, the woman who sold, you know, my daughter sold. She took pictures of the driveway, posted them on LinkedIn. Took pictures of the new house that the container got moved to. She posted it on LinkedIn. She said to me what a great job he did. She took the pictures to promote me. I didn't ask her to do that. That was really nice of her to do so. It meant a lot that I took care of her. So much so that she went on LinkedIn to help further the Eddie Pod agenda, which is to help as many people as we can. You can't get better advertising than that. You can't get better referrals than that. That's just the best.
So you've gone the extra mile, and it gets people to sell for you. But, you know, to have your, even your daughter, so I get that a client, a prospect, even the woman who you told, hey, just you don't need me. Get rid of your furniture and buy new furniture, right? So I can see that kind of integrity that you have in people. It's like, hey, you know, I'm thinking out loud with you, Eddie. So it's like you're selling something else, and the pods are sort of a derivative of that. But you're selling integrity. You're selling what people would call trust. You're selling convenience for people, ease of mind, and people appreciate that. And that is what that's what they've bought from you. And then they're willing to go out and sort of evangelize for you and send you people. Even if the card is stuck to their business card in their wallet.
4 years later, you hit the nail on the head. You really did. I really appreciate that you get it, because that's the essence of it. I'm not fake. I'm not a phony. You know, it's not just because I remember being in Florida and they hired some new guys, and the guy's like, "I'm going to be Davy Pods," and we all looked at him like, "Shut up." stop it. You know, you've been here 5 minutes. You know, like, come on, man. You know, you can't just take a Monica. You have to earn it. You have to earn it. You have to work it. You have to become it. You know, it's just something you are. You know, not everyone sells like I do. You know, there's a gal in Florida who works on accounts payable, and she helps a lot of my accounts. But she gets a lot of screwed up accounts from other people, and she needs to talk a certain way to people to get paid, but she's not allowed to because the company has an ethics committee. She's not allowed to say things in a certain way. And let's just say she'll send me an email with an account number. Can you put the New York way on them? And I know what she means. I need to speak to them in my way. Either you're going to pay your bill, come pick up your container and take it away. You tell me what you want to do. You owe me for 6 months. Pay the bill. Come on. Don't make me come get you. You know, it's just the way that I do it. She just loves it. Like, it just, because it works every time. I get her bills paid. I'm a solution solver for her. And she helps me with tons of stuff on the back end. So it's kind of one of those hand-in-hand things. But her boss was looking over her shoulder the other day and saw her send this email. And he turned to her and goes, "What do you mean the Eddie way?" And she just turned and looked at him and smiled and said, "He'll get it done. That's the way." And that's how I feel with my clients. I get it done. I get it done and make sure you're happy. You know, to go 10 years and have 2 complaints to corporate in 10 years, that's a pretty good record. 30 million in sales over 10 years, pretty damn good. What means more to me is my reputation. What do people say when I'm not around? What do they speak about in rooms? "Oh, that guy is terrible. Doesn't do a good job." Listen, Laura, you and I meet people all the time. Like, I wouldn't do business with that person. You know, there are certain people you get a bad vibe from. You're like, I don't think so.
Right.
But to know that they don't think that way of me is pretty cool. And to know that I get this many referrals week after week and year after year because of who I am, I haven't changed. I've gotten smarter only because I've learned the business better. I've gotten more tools, more people to throw in there. You know, I got organizing people now that I know you. I have an interior design people. I have different people to put in play if needed. So I have more tools at my disposal to help people. You know, and it's not always. You know, there's a guy that I work with that does my pack and loads. He loads containers for me. But he's got a moving company. And sometimes, economically, it's not wise for them to use pods, economically. So I tell them, I'm going to send Mike over. He's going to give you a price to load the containers, and then tell him to give you a price for doing the full-service move himself. And then again, why would you give the business away? They're not giving the business away.
It comes back.
I'm helping you find the best price. Mike is a stand-up guy. He'll do a phenomenal job for me. He'll do a phenomenal job for you. But if he could save you $300, $400, moving's expensive. That $300 could go towards your kid's new furniture. And they're amazed that I would do that. And the woman even said to me, and this is the other day, she says, "But Eddie, I want to give you the sale." I says, "I love you for it. But I want to give you the best price and the best service."
Right.
So Mike is equal to me in service. He's a great guy. I wouldn't refer him if he didn't do a great job. I want to make sure you hang on to as much money as you can because there's only so much of a discount that I could give you, you know, through pods. And I ended up getting the sale, but it was just the fact that I was willing to give it up to make sure they got the best. Give them the best, whether it's you or somebody else you know. You know, that's kind of like what Connect is about, Laura. You know, we have different, you know, people in the same industry that collaborate together. They don't compete.
Yeah.
You know, that'll... expression from Chris, we don't collaborate, you know, and that's how I feel. And sometimes you do that, it'll come back. Karma is a good thing. I don't look at karma as a bad thing, not for me. Karma is a really good thing in my life. And I feel that everything that's coming back to me, through all the good moves I did, all the times I picked up the phone call on a Saturday afternoon, knowing who it was, you know what I mean, Lori. you know, answering a text at 9 o'clock at night when you really don't want to. the karma comes back in a good way.
So, wait, let me ask, does your wife know she's Mrs. Pod?
Oh, yes, she does. Oh, yes, she does. And, you know, we went out, I think I said this to you last week when we spoke, we were in the city last summer having dinner, and then we're walking out in Times Square, and all of a sudden I bumped into a guy, the guy looks in my eyes, I look in his eyes, it's like, hey, freaking Pod, what are you doing here? And my wife just looks at me, and she just starts cracking up. She's like, even here, middle of New York City, someone knows you. And it was just so funny, man. You know, you just never know where you're going to run into someone, but she understands who she is. She knows who I am. She's the best partner a man could have in this business. Sometimes before COVID hit, I would spend a lot of time on the road because my territory goes all the way up New York. So I'd check in on Buffalo and Syracuse from time to time, and Rochester, and trips down to the Jersey Shore, trade shows all across the country. Did a lot of traveling. You know, I'd be on the road, you know, 10 or 15 times a year for 2 or 3 days at a time. And she always handled the troops at home while I did this, always made it possible. Nothing got missed while I was gone. The only thing that ever got missed was Lexi's birthday. Twice I was on the road for her birthday. Twice. Mm-hmm. She never let me forget it. Never. Even though she had extra special birthday presents and extra 2 times of birthday matter. You were away on my birthday, Daddy.
Yeah, nothing's better than being there. The greatest gift is dead, so no present can be that place. So
nothing could be that place.
So you are No, that's all right. So you know what people are buying you. Is what you're telling me. And when they buy you, then they're willing to sell you. I know that sounds a little wrong, right?
No,
to say people are selling you. But they bought you, and what's attached to you. And it sounds like it wouldn't even matter if you were selling paper clips or trucking service or something else or accounting service. So they bought you. And then they go out and sell to you. So you have people working for you and referring people to you. So when you get referrals, when you get someone who's referred to you, I guess they have your reputation, like you were saying, that's important to you. How do you then get someone who you just met from someone else, how do you then turn that person into a fan who's going to go out and sell you?
Wow. With intelligence for their project, while them with advice that is sage. I like to use the word sage advice, but my grandma used to sage. Give sage advice, Eddie, and you'll do well in life. Give good advice. A lot of times in my company, people are so worried about price. Price isn't the world. Price isn't everything. Okay, you can have a bad contractor and get a great price.
Yep.
Right, Lori? If you got a bad contractor, but he gave you the best price ever. I try to make people not even think about money. That's one of the first things I try to do. And like I mentioned to you earlier, I spend time with them. I invest my time answering a lot of questions. And when it comes to moving, people have a lot of questions. My initial conversations could be 45 minutes. And then there's going to be a follow-up one and a couple of follow-up emails. How fast I respond to those emails has everything to do with my success. Telling them to text me anytime, I love text messages because I don't really have to talk, but I can think and do my business very quickly. And the quicker you respond, the faster they feel more love for you. So I'm checking off different things that mean something to people. How fast are you responding to me? Do you really care about me? Holy crap, this guy answered within 30 seconds. He must like me. He emailed me the new price in 2.5 minutes. He must like me. When I called him, he knew my account number. He must like me. I give them all the reasons to think I'm their guy. I want to be their guy. And for me, and I was thinking about this before, it's like when the oil burner guy comes, he does the job, he writes up the bill and looks at you and says, just because I like you, I'm taking $50 off your bill. Oh, my God, who is this guy? I love this guy. I will tell everybody about this guy. That's who I am. I'm that guy. But I don't take $50 off you, Bill. I give you all the sage advice, like Grandma always said.
So the wow effect.
So I'm thinking we can call you that Eddie the Sage.
Hey, you know, there's some things that stick from Grandma. That's for sure.
Well, that is wise advice. So, you know.
You know, I
good.
Try to share it with my kids. You know, I got teenage girls, and, you know, I got one who's a little rough around the edges at 15, but my 17-year-old is such a good person, good heart, knows what it's like to give. She kind of takes care of her grandfather, who just stopped driving at 93 and gave her his brand new car as a gift for her 17th birthday. And her job is to take him food shopping, take him to every doctor's appointment, call him every night before he goes to bed to make sure he's okay. I've raised some good kids. You know, my wife had more to do with it than me, but they've seen who I am to people, and when you treat people good, people will treat you good. And I meant that before when I said karma's good. I don't know anything about bad karma. I only know about good karma.
Right. Yeah, karma's a big thing, for sure. For sure. So if you were... I guess if someone was going to ask you and they were starting a new business, because our show is for entrepreneurs, and they were going to build a referral network, what would be the one thing that you can tell them would be the best thing that would help them build that or to start to build that?
Join Connect.
Join Connect. In five, how many states now? Four or five?
I have been involved in, I'd say, over a dozen different networking groups in the past 15 years. I have gotten more business in this first year with this organization than all of those put together, this organization. I mean, tremendous. Tremendous connections. Tremendous.
Yeah, so for our listeners, there's a networking group that is here that started, I guess it started on Long Island, called Connects. And Chris is actually going to be our guest next week. And it's pretty fascinating. He grew a networking group through COVID by Zoom. And it now is in four states, I believe, or five
actually,
states.
Actually, we're in seven states now. Seven states,
seven
and we
states.
Had guests from Ireland 2 weeks ago.
It's insane, and it's over 100 people.
We, if I'm not mistaken, we're at 175, if I'm not mistaken. And I say we because it's family to me. I never let
right,
networking
exactly.
people in. I never used to allow networking people to be part of my Facebook. Facebook was always personal for my friends and family.
Right.
LinkedIn was for business. Go to my Facebook page, you'll find half a Connect there. That's because they mean something to me. These people would do anything to help me grow my business, as I would help them to grow their business.
It's
huge. The one thing I would do.
Right. And Eddie and I
And the
have
second
met
thing
I
do is have a meeting with me. That would be the second thing I'd do, is have a meeting with me.
Have a meeting with Eddie Pods, everybody. Eddie,
That's
tell
right.
them how to reach you.
You can reach me. I'll give out my number. My number is 631-334-8587. That is my cell number. You can see me on LinkedIn, Eddie Adelman, Pods Guy. I'm there as well. I don't have any other special handles. But if anyone out there has a question, needs a quote, needs to understand what we actually do and how we do it, be happy to chat with you anytime.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And if anybody needs a storage container for any reason, I always think moving and renovating. But it's also if you're having a party and you want to, you know, store things, or it's just a great storage container.
Staging is starting to become bigger and bigger. So all the housing market and people are trying to declutter their homes. One of the things that people
right.
don't know is that the container does not need to sit in front of your house. The POS container can be brought back to my indoor storage facility, so you don't have to see it. So we come, we drop it off, we fill it up, we take it back to my warehouse, bring it back when you're ready, or ship it to where you're moving to.
Great advice. Sage advice.
Sage advice.
I caught myself on that. Sage advice.
That was good. That was good.
You know, you said that someone in your company said they were going to be baby pods. I think you actually have already established making baby pods, because if you're Eddie Pods and your wife is Mrs. Pods and all these people out here sending you referrals, you've created a bunch of baby pods. So whoever says they want to be baby pods, you've already handled
that. Already got it covered. Yeah, you're right. Already got it covered. Yeah, like I said, when you're trying to brand yourself, and again, it's not even, you know, one of the greatest compliments I got a few months ago, I was doing a presentation at Microsoft, the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce, and I had been there quite a few times, and at the end of my presentation, I did a quick Q&A, and the guy's hand goes up, I'm like, hey, Mike, what's your question? He goes, it's not a question. He goes, I've known you for 6 weeks. I thought you owned this company. I didn't know you worked for them. It's like the greatest compliment ever. You know, it really is. It means that I represent myself in a way that people think that I really am part of this organization. I really care, and that I'm going to represent myself as if it was my business.
Yeah, that really is a great compliment.
And that's the key to hiring employees, too, for people to remember that you have to onboard them as if, you know, they own the company because they represent you as well.
100%.
So, you know, that's an important fact to take into consideration. You want to hire someone who's going to adopt the culture and who's going to be the best representative for you. And I think that's why a lot of businesses fail.
Right. It's also great advice for salespeople. Salespeople to understand that if you're just going out there to say I represent the company as a salesman or woman, you're really missing out on a huge opportunity for people to buy you. So because they believe you are the owner, they're buying you. The company just comes with you. So when salespeople care for their clients in the same way that a business owner does, the clients get that same sense of care and commitment, and that's what they're buying. So it's a great philosophy for every salesperson to embrace.
Well, it's actually in my book. I'm actually in the process of writing a sales book. I'll have to come back once it's complete, and we could talk about Sales 101 with Eddie Pods.
Love it.
Very cool.
We have a publisher for
Very
you that
cool.
was also on our show. So when you're ready for
really?
Publishing, I'll send you her information. And I'll send you the link to her show. She's fabulous.
That's a great idea, Laurie. I would very much be interested in learning more about that, for certain. Because, you know, when you make that goal at the beginning of the year, some people take it seriously, some people don't. I am on chapter 6 of 13 chapters, so I've already laid out the whole book of chapters, so I know what's going into the book. I have completed 6 chapters, and we're only into March. I wanted to complete this by December. So I'm on a roll, and I have a feeling I'm going to finish this by summertime, and I definitely could use some advice and some information on publishing. I took a class, some ideas on how to help publishing, but I definitely will want to speak to a professional.
So I'll do that. And her name is Stacy. She was amazing.
Very cool. Very cool.
She definitely was. Yeah, we interviewed her. It was last year, I think.
So you guys have been on every Thursday since COVID started?
Yep. You can tell the story.
This month.
You have 4 minutes.
This month makes 1 year.
Really? So tell me the quick story. How did it start? Tell me so I know.
Go ahead,
Lori
Ted.
Called me up and said, let's do a podcast. And I was like, well, first you have to know that I met Lori just randomly walking upstairs. And I said, the queen has arrived, because she was wearing this leopard-type coat. And I don't know, maybe that was 5 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah.
And so Lori and I have known one another since then, just a random, you know, meeting. And so actually it would have been 2019, Lori said, let's do a podcast. And so we talked about what it would be about, business, having guests, and we did a lot of back and forth conversations, and then we put a launch date, and we just went for it since then. So we've been going strong for 12 months.
Well, it's an honor to be on here with you guys. It's the first time I've been on a podcast. It's also on my list
Very
of
cool.
things to do this year is create an Eddie Pod podcast. I know it sounds like, Eddie Pod podcast. But I actually pitched it to my boss. I wanted to get the company to, you know, get behind it with me and, you know, do a little financing of it. But I got crickets from them. So I'm going to do it on my own. Eddie Pods will be pausing on his own.
Very awesome. You'll have Stacy behind you, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Now you have two pods and a P.
Right, a pod and a P, I like that.
Two pods.
There you go.
Now you have two pods. Two pods and a P. Instead of two P's
yeah,
and a pod, you have two pods
you guys
and a P.
Know. Just so you know, I have a pod container outside of my driveway. Just so you know.
That's great.
There is a pod container at Eddie Pods' house.
Great. I can't wait to have coffee in it.
There you go. You and I will definitely have to do some coffee after this, no doubt.
Perfect. Eddie, thank you so much for being a great guest. And Ted, thank you. And everyone, we'll see you next week, Thursday.
Thanks for having me. And I'll tune in next week. I want to hear your next podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thanks a lot, Eddie. Take care.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Next Thursday at 7 o'clock.
You got it. Take care. Good night, everyone. Goodbye.
Good night.